It's recording now.
Okay, now we're gonna start the class. Like
special kids that will go.
These are the McKees that we all know and love, and they have 16 emus, and they're super cool, and they're always nice to everyone, and they are lights of Christ, and also, and their grandson is our bestie, and with Jade, and then
he's in Florida.
Is he in Florida right now?
He is in Florida.
Yeah,
he is in Florida.
Crazy.
Well, that was a great introduction. How fun. All right. So,
most of you do know us, and we're excited to be in this house. So, I understand that our little presentation here kind of was an act. But we like that, and we're just happy to be here with you. So, maybe some others will file in, and we'll be able to ask. So, what I want you to do, I want you to start out by standing up and walk around to each other. Come on in, you guys. Come on in. Come on in. Yeah.
Are you coming or not?
This is not scary.
They're really
it's
scary.
Fun.
They have 16 emus.
Yeah, 16 emus.
There's only 13.
Oh, 13. My bad.
Yes.
All right. So just walk around. I want you to introduce yourself to what you ate for breakfast.
So how many people?
So,
yeah. Now, uh-huh. So,
like
you,
say,
so you need to walk up and say, okay, I'm oatmeal.
I'm cinnamon toast.
Okay, then go on to somebody else.
I'm protein bar.
Come on in. Come on in. Come on in.
I'm pancakes.
It's all right. Come on in.
We can,
come on in. Come on in.
I'm eggs and toast.
Come on in.
Pancakes. Hi, I'm protein bar.
Oh, that's yummy.
What kind of pancakes?
Come on in, man. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm
I'm just a donut. Hey guys, do you know what we're doing?
Yeah.
We're introducing ourselves as what we ate for breakfast.
No.
So like, I'd be like, hey, my name's Donut.
Hi,
you
my name's Sub
Sandwich. Hi, my name's Pancakes.
This is the way.
Oh my goodness.
A protein shake.
Hi, my name's Donut. What's your name?
Well, I don't remember what I
said. You got a Subway sandwich.
Subway sandwich?
Cool.
Yeah, sure.
Dude, you all are twins.
I'm a donut.
Okay, find your seats.
Hey, what's your name?
So you four guys that just came in. I happen to know Brandon and Brandon Shane. But you four guys that just came in. What was the feeling when you walked into the room? What did you feel?
Hot.
Yeah, what else? What did you feel? So hot. What did you feel when you were appearing in the room like, should we go in? What was the feeling? You guys can come in if you want.
The feeling was, where the heck
is your brother? Oh, they're too little.
Where the heck is your brother? Is that what you're looking for? You still looking for him? You didn't want to come in here?
No, I was going to. We were going to, but we're going to go find
him. Oh, you want to go find him? So you want us to give you time to go find him?
It's fine.
Okay, because you can do that. So what was the, what, any other feelings?
I get your chair.
It's okay, Dominic stole my spot, so I guess I'll keep it.
Okay, so you seemed a little hesitant up on stage. What was the feeling that you had as you walked in the room?
Whether I was going to go
later after. Okay, trying to decide if you're going to go here or the acting one. Okay, going back and forth. What do we do? Which way do I go? Do I want to go be an actor? Or do I want to go to just talk to people about anxiety and depression? What a boring subject. Did anybody at all feel any anxiety at all, any level of anxiety when I said, hey, introduce yourself to what you ate for breakfast? That's because you all know each other. And you're about how much you get. You're just all easy. So, if you were to be thrown into a group of people you didn't know, and I invited you to do that, was it a little scary? Was it a little harder for you to be thrown into this? You know what I'm saying? You don't know. Yeah. So, would it put a little bit of edge or anxiety on you? Or not?
Not really.
Not really. Okay, that's good. That's good. So whenever you're thrown into a situation that's new and different, maybe some new people that don't know yet.
This
is anxiety and depression and fear.
And we're going to cause it.
But it's going to be fun. What do you want to look for?
I'm looking for the acting class.
Yeah,
the acting class.
I think it's the other room.
Yeah. So but we're happy to keep you. You're looking for the acting class. We're going to ask you here, too. You're welcome to come in. Anyway, so... But whenever you're in a difficult situation, it produces a level of anxiety. What I want to help you see is that all of us, every human being, has some level of anxiety and depression. It isn't something that you either have or you don't have. Every human being has that. If if you were asked to speak in church, would there be any anxiety?
Yes.
Yeah. Would you be a little afraid of that? Or sing in church, or sing for some special thing. Would you be a little scared of that? So everybody has that level of anxiety. If I said to you, hey, there's a cougar out there that just got in this, the new building, and it's running their paw in the Sylvania building, what would you feel?
Fear.
Fear, exactly. So fear, the fear of that will produce a level of anxiety and will cause us to, or if we said, oh, you know those fires down in California? They're here. In Pocatello, we've got a brush fire going on, and it's burning homes, and it's come to ISU right now. Well, how would you feel?
Scared.
Yeah, scared.
I just
get on an airplane.
But
that will produce anxiety. So I want to help you see that. Sometimes we look at anxiety like it's the measles, or like it's cancer, or some disease. Every human being has some level of anxiety. We have, and as we understand and begin to understand it, we go, oh, I want to view it a little bit different than just viewing it as, oh no, it's this illness that people have. Everybody has a level. So today we're going to be talking about how we can lower those levels, or how sometimes they can increase what we view. Severe levels of anxiety and depression can produce suicidal ideation, which is something some of your friends are talking about that. Some of your friends have died from that. So what can we do to make sure that this doesn't happen within our group? So, as I want to make sure that you know that that's all part of every human's life, okay? So Renee's going to talk to you a little bit about thoughts. Some of the thoughts that go before that anxiety happens.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read you something that I really like to read. It has a lot of meaning to me. In fact, it's really made such a significant difference in my life. And maybe some of you have even heard it. It's called The Monument. God, before he sent his children to earth, gave each of them a very carefully selected package of problems. These, he promised, smiling, are yours, alone. No one else may have the blessings that these problems will bring you. And only you have the special talents and abilities that will be needed to make these problems your servants. Now go down to your birth and to your forgetfulness. Know that I love you beyond measure. These problems that I give you are a symbol of that love. The monument you make of your life with the help of your problems will be a symbol of your love for me. How many of you feel like you have, some challenges? Anybody? Not really. Oh, there are some. Good, 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 good. Well, you know what? That's not all bad. And I think that we are put here on this earth to learn to do hard things. Have any of you read the book, Do Hard Things? Have you read it? Mm-hmm. It's really a good book, a motivating book. But it helps us see that as we reach out to do more than we think we can, it really produces a lot of results in our lives. For example, I hope this works. Okay. T stands for thoughts. F stands for?
Fears.
Fears? Nope. Feelings. Okay. And our feeling, and the A stands for?
Actions.
Okay, our thoughts produce our feelings. Our feelings produce our actions. I want you to think for just a minute. First of all, I want you to know that, you know, do you realize that it is possible to change your thoughts? There are a lot of people who will say that's not even true. You can't change what you think. Can you? How many of you think you can't? Okay, some of you think, how many think you can't? Okay. You really can change your thoughts. For example, everybody close your eyes. Now, I want you to think of being in California. I want you to think of being where it looks like a war zone. It looks like there are no houses. There are people sitting around fires, roasting their marshmallows or whatever it is for food. But they have no homes. They've lost everything, everything, everything. Now, keep your eyes closed, and I want you to think about laying on a beach. Oh, in Florida. You're laying on the beach and you can feel the warmth of the sun on your face. And it makes you want to get up and run in the beach and run and put your feet in the water and do some great things. Okay, now open your eyes. I know that's kind of a silly thing, but how, you know, we've all felt depression, right? We've all felt down. Do you think you can change those thoughts? But what are the thoughts that usually come to us? What do you usually think when you're depressed, when you're down?
Sad thoughts.
Sad thoughts? Like what?
Done with everything.
You're done with everything. I am. Fill it in.
Can't do it.
Not good enough. Can't do it.
It's too hard.
It's too hard.
I'm all alone.
I'm all alone. Good. What else? Those are thoughts. And you know what? As we think that way, it creates our feelings. And our feelings, if you think it's too hard, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Zoe, can I use you for an example? Okay, she's taking some BYU education classes online.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what if you just keep thinking, I can't do it? I can't do it. I don't have time. I'm not smart enough. I just can't do it. Now, you keep thinking that thought. You're so dumb. You can't do it. All those negative things come in. You can't do it. You're not good enough. You're not as good as all those people. Okay? What's it going to cause? What kind of feelings?
Bad feelings.
Do you feel good about yourself?
I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. And so, what would you probably do? Do you think you'd finish school? What would you do?
Put off all my school.
Put it off? Because you don't want to meet with those hard people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, can you see that there is really power in our thoughts and in our brains? But the truth of it is we have the power to be able to change those thoughts. Let's see. I'm doing this now. Should I do it now? Maybe I won't.
Let me do the lecture.
Okay.
So, put yourself in groups of six.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Stand in a circle. Put yourself in groups of six and stand in a circle. Actually, let's walk back there.
Feels so loved.
See, that's part of my joy.
Do you still do piano lessons?
I do. Are you still playing the piano?
A little bit.
Good.
Come back.
Look.
My boy, there's a cello table.
Did you?
Come back here.
Was it?
It's complicated.
Yeah.
Sideways pianos.
Yeah.
While you're coming back here, tell me what you're feeling.
Sore?
Okay, come to this
point. Bella, you gotta come make your room.
I'm coming.
Noah's in your group.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, let's switch and do eight.
Yeah, let's go.
We
got three groups of six.
We got three groups of six. I'm six.
Yeah.
We did.
And then let's come
here on this side. So
okay.
Okay.
Okay, you guys are
okay.
Okay.
Okay, can you be on this side?
We'll come on this one.
Oh, what? I was just holding this over here.
Uh-oh. No, we need
okay, don't go back.
We need
I know, but they need you right there. Sorry.
We need you. Okay, all right. So, stand up. No chairs. No chairs. Stand up. Stand up and face. He said, better put the chairs away. They could be dangerous. Okay. This is an exercise of trust.
Trust
all. Everybody hear me? Trust
all?
Of course. An exercise of trust. And it can be dangerous, but if you follow instructions, it works out really well. One of you.
We are. We're doing
it. They're
good.
Very good. So, one of you are going to stand in the center, and you're going to hold your feet together.
Okay,
wait, don't do it until I tell you. Okay?
Shh, listen.
Okay, one of you are going to stand in the center, and you're going to cross your arms across your chest. Okay, and then you're going to stand with your legs straight. You can't curl your legs down. You're going to stand with your legs straight. Okay? And the rest of you in the circle are going to hold your hands out flat. Kind of maybe you can come and help us too. You're going to hold your hands out flat. And the person in the center is going to close their eyes, and they're going to fall toward any direction. If you let them fall, they can get hurt. Really, they can really be damaged. Okay? Don't do it until I tell you to go. And then and this is tell me your name. Dominic. Okay, I want you to watch what I do with Dominic. So Dominic's going to fall toward me. Go ahead, Dominic. And I'm just you can't step. You can't move your feet. And I'm just going to catch him with my open palms. And then, I'm not going to push him hard, but I'm just going to center him back in the center now. Okay. So the person in the center, say go. The person in the center, go.
You just go with that.
Keep your legs straight. And don't talk. Don't tell him where you are.
Don't push him.
Just support him. You're just supporting him.
Okay.
You're just supporting him.
Make him fall over.
You guys are mean.
Don't push him.
Just
support him. Don't push him.
Yeah.
He's just bouncing off.
Just let him fall completely to where you are. Even. There you go.
This
is more.
Don't bend your knees.
Like one of those punching bags.
That's right.
Like
good.
You don't punch it, you hit it.
I kind of
wish.
Watch me.
Don't stop. Now change and put someone else in the middle.
Right.
The person in the middle, okay, don't tie. Just close your eyes and then don't put your hands out. Put your legs straight.
Stay right there.
Ready?
Go.
Okay, switch.
Blue jacket?
Really?
That was you?
Last year my dad changed. For you, because I noticed you, they let you fall.
I think they were just some boys that were showing me how strong they were, and got my momentum going too fast.
Okay.
So sometimes you can help people.
So what did it feel like when they let you down?
They let me down easy, but
was it scary?
Yeah.
When you fail.
Yeah.
So that puts a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear in there.
Were you able to do it the next time? Or did you do it again after you fell?
Yeah, they were a lot more gentle.
But you were willing to get back in there, and I don't know if you wanted to or not. I came over and said, let's do it again. But you were willing to get back in there, like, which I really admire. Have you ever, I'm kind of a horseman from my youth. You ever heard a person say, I just got bucked up a horse, and the old cowboy says what?
Get back on.
Why, Blake?
Can't let the horse get away with it.
Hey, can't let the horse get away with it. Yeah. Why?
Because then they can do that.
Yeah, they have to learn they can do that. And so the horse will be no good. He will be a no good horse because he'll buck everybody off. And the rider will be no good because the rider will be afraid of pretending to get on a horse. So they always, so a good horseman says, get back on the horse. Isn't that interesting? Why in the world would you get back on a fucking horse? I mean, doesn't that seem just dumb? But you get back on the horse because, and you got back on the horse today. And what happened out of that? Yeah. Did it reduce your fear?
Yeah.
Okay. My point is anytime you can get back on the horse or anytime you can face the fear, so anytime we go back into doing something difficult or something hard, like Renee was talking about you at school, and you create this scenario where all this negative self-talk, but the more you go back in and do it, things like, the more you go back in and do it, though, the fear dissipates. And you have less and less fear. And you're going, I can do this. And so Blake did that. He went back in and he said, okay, I'm going to do this. Maybe just because Bill said, hey, come and do it. But I'm going to do this. And what happened out of that? Your fear lessen or heighten?
Lessen.
In our group. I've lost your first name.
My name's Bella.
Bella, right?
Yes.
Okay, what were you feeling?
Anxiety,
yes! See, I don't want you to be afraid of anxiety. That's the hope here. You will feel anxiety. And Bella, how are you feeling now?
I am getting off an adrenaline rush.
Yeah. Any anxiety right now?
No.
A level of it, because we're talking about it? No? Okay, so you're getting off an adrenaline rush. What's happening right now for you?
What do you mean?
What are you feeling?
It's really hot in here.
It's really hot in here? Right. And what else?
What do you mean?
Do you wish you never come to this class? Do you wish you never done that exercise?
I feel proud that I did it.
All right.
Is that what you're looking
for? Oh, I don't want to do this. That's good. That's good.
He's like, it's okay, just do it. I'm like, I just told you.
These guys are here to support you. So I did actually push you to walk over the bridge. So these guys are here to support you. And so, but the feeling of, I don't want to do this. Now, is it okay to talk about Christian things in here? Are you all okay with that? Everyone in Christian base? Is there anyone that would be offended by that? I have a lot of Buddhist friends.
I think everyone in here is Christian.
Okay, so here's my question. If you're a Christ believer, was Christ ever afraid? Bella?
No. Yes.
How do we know that?
Not that we know of.
Not that we know of. How do we know he was afraid?
Because he said, when he was in the garden with his son,
yeah.
And he prayed,
yeah.
He said, if there's any other way.
Yeah. So, Bella, you linked arms with Christ and you said, hey, Bill, is there any other way? Do I need to really do this? Right?
You said no.
Well, and so, and that's right. So God, his father said, no. You promised to go through this. And I can only imagine, and I'm paraphrasing, and I don't want to be sacrilegious, but I'm guessing he might have said something like, I'm willing to bleed from one pore, but every pore? Ooh. This is hard. So Christ himself, who if you're a Christian-based faith, who we really admire, said, this is really hard for you to take this cup from me. I want you to remember that when you're dealing with anxiety of any kind. Wow, that is not uncommon. Even someone as great as Christ, who Christians revere as perfect on this earth, that is not uncommon for him to say, hey, and how about this? What would it be like for you to say, oh, Christ experienced anxiety? Ooh. And what did he do? He faced it. He walked toward the fear. He could have run away. He could have said, I'm not doing this. He could have argued and said, you didn't tell me it was going to be this hard. You didn't tell me these BYU courses are going to be this hard. He could have argued about that. He could have sliced off an arrow leg and said, I'm not going to that cross. He walked toward his own experience. And out of that, if you're Christian-based, came eternal life, came the atonement, came so many huge blessings for the Christian-based faith. So I want you to think about that. Great people. And people, Gandhi was a great man, walked toward his death, actually. He walked toward fear. Anytime, and I don't want you to go around and chase after mountain lions, but anytime when things get hard, if you walk toward it a little bit, as you face the fear dissipates. Okay? Now, what does that have to do with anxiety? Anxiety is always fear-based. Always. Remember that. Whenever you feel a little anxiety in your life, or some of your friends are feeling anxiety, ask yourself, what do you think we're afraid of? What do you think we're feeling right now? What do you think's going on inside of us? And everybody is feeling something. The biggest bully on the playground is the most afraid. You know that? People who bully. Of course, the people in the world who bully. Or bullies. Just think about world people.
Russia.
Yeah. We have a family from Ukraine right now living in our basement because Russia's invading Ukraine and they're killing the people like crazy. And so they're running from the war and they're living with us because they're afraid. So yeah, Russia's a bully. What do you think Russia's afraid of?
Not having power.
Yeah, they want power of the whole world. They're afraid of the United States, actually. So they're going to start collecting. And Ukraine has some great oil fields in there and has some other things they want. And so they're trying to take power. So they're afraid of not having power. This is a little before your time. Saddam Hussein came over and bombed our Twin Towers. What do you think he was afraid of?
America, I guess.
What's that?
America.
Yeah. So he came and bullied us and bombed other people. What do you think Hitler was afraid of? You studied that in your history? Never imagine Hitler being afraid. He killed six million Jews. What do you think he was afraid of?
Well, I think he was just afraid of dying. I mean, he was like, he
He killed himself so he wouldn't be America.
Yeah. But he's a bully. Yeah. The biggest bullies are the most afraid. Remember that. So when people torment you or tease you online or anywhere else or put you down anyway, they're being bullies. They're afraid of something. So stop and think about that. They're actually experiencing anxiety themselves, and then when they bully other people. Renate?
Okay. I really appreciated both of you in the free follow, those especially in my group. I noticed a lot of them didn't come towards me because I was kind of like this. And, you know, I hope that that experience will teach you something about facing fear. Whether it's with other people, with, you know, wherever it is, because we'll all face that fear. Okay, so I'm going to draw a picture of a human being. Okay, and there are three parts of each one of us. Anybody know what those would be? So this is a picture of Ainsley. This is a picture of every single one of us. Oh, you probably can't see over here. Sorry. Okay, I'll add one part and see if you can guess the rest. Oh, this is not a good mark.
Got this ready?
Maybe after. Okay, yeah, hold it out. Okay, so this is the body. Okay. Okay. What?
I said body, mind, and spirit.
Oh, man. Body. I'm going to put mind up here. And did you say spirit? Okay. Oh, that's not. Okay. So does that kind of show everybody here? Everybody here has a body. Everybody here has a mind, right? And everybody has a spirit. Okay. So everybody's body has a need. Let's put the needs. Let's put the needs up here. Ooh, we got to do this fast.
Food.
Okay, all of those things. What's the most important of all?
Definitely
air. What happened if you held your hand over? Yeah. So these are needs of the body that we have to have. Okay, and so we're gonna just put. It actually. I'm going to put comfort here, and that will make more sense later. We actually seek comfort. We could have you guys come in and just sit on the floor. Or we could say, you could choose to sit on the floor on a chair. Which would you choose?
Honestly,
I'm choosing the floor. Okay, quickly, there is also, with our mind, there is an ego. And that has to do with the social part of us. But let's talk about the needs that our mind has. What does every one of our minds need? Come on, just shout it out.
I guess like food to function.
Food, okay. Physical food, because that's down here.
Okay.
That's taking food. Care of our body.
So for mind.
Education, what? Yes.
Joy.
Imagination, yes.
Stimulation.
Okay, yeah, all of those things, and let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. You have to forgive me. Sometimes my mind just goes blank. Tell me where I am.
So the physical is a body. The body would be food, clothing, shelter.
We're back to mind.
And the mind would be belonging.
No,
two plus two needs to equal four. That makes sense out of things. Being right.
Oh, it's actually knowledge.
Knowledge? That's what I'll gain in here.
Okay. Okay, and the needs of our spirit. What needs does our spirit have?
Scripture.
What?
Scripture.
Scripture. What else?
Connection with God, prayer.
Good, I like that. Connection with God.
Hope.
Hope. Good. Anything else?
Faith.
Faith, that's a good one. Hey. Okay, now we're going to come over here. Oh, let's talk about the needs of our ego. Now, our ego, it's kind of a little hard thing to describe, but it has to do with the social element. Because we like to be around people, right? What is the need of our ego? Yes.
To be cool.
To be cool. Belonging, yes. Good.
Be like, belong, yeah.
Okay. Now, if we keep these needs, we're going to get a payoff. What's the payoff if we get comfort of our body?
You're alive.
We're alive, yeah. But what else? Actually, I'm going to put this whole thing down. The payoff is that we're comfortable, right? If you stop and think about what, you know, if we're hungry, oh man, we're probably not going to die, but I'm starving. I'm so thirsty. I'm nauseous. Okay, so let's talk about our ego. Let's say that we do belong. What's the payoff? In other words, beginning from that, if you belong to something. Now look, you three have the same shirts on. You must belong to something or some group or something.
Oh, I got it.
What is it?
We have a purpose.
Duh, you have a purpose. But you know what? It is so important for every person. Everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to fit in. And have you noticed? Probably not, because you're at home school. But there are a lot of kids out there that don't belong. And maybe you felt that way sometimes, but you just didn't fit in. I remember thinking yesterday, I didn't know what to wear. You ever felt that? You didn't know? I didn't know. Was it supposed to be a dress-up thing? I feel like was it supposed to be a dress-up thing? Or was it casual? Well, when I first walked in, I felt really overdressed. So I didn't really feel like I belonged. Okay? So, today I wore my Levi's. Okay? So I wanted to fit in. That was my payoff. Okay, now, the mind, let's see, if we fill it with a lot of stuff, a lot of knowledge, a lot of things that we've talked about, what is the payoff for the mind?
Understanding.
Okay. Understanding, but it's also over here. I'm going to talk about this. I got to do this really fast and it's maybe not making sense. We like to be right. Maybe you like to be right. Like if you've ever had an argument or you've done something, you know, doesn't it feel good when there's a situation and you get to call it and you're right? Does it feel good? Wait till you get married. It really feels good. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it really is a need that we all have. Now, what is the need of the spirit? What is the payoff? If you have a connection with God and you have faith, what's your payoff?
Spiritual growth.
And I'm just going to put this down for time's sake. Integrity. Okay. Now, what I want you to do, I know this is kind of a
mess. Be true to yourself and others.
What's that?
You have to be true to yourself and others.
Yeah. Those are the needs, right? To being true, our connection with God, being true to ourselves. Now, I'm going to draw a big line right here. Now, where are you getting your payoff? Is your payoff like, what do you seek more than anything else in the whole world? Is it comfort? Is it to fit in? to be like other people. You want to make sure that you have the coolest, you know, the cell phones, the coolest ones that do the highest things. You want to fit in that way, or the clothes, or do you want to have integrity? Do you want to do what you say you'll do? If you say you're going to be somewhere, you do it. And I can promise you that when you do it, that when you do it, when you have that produces high self-esteem by keeping your word, by doing what you say you'll do.
So,
so whenever it feels like some of your friends or some of you feel like you're having anxiety or having high depression, you feel like that choices too. Because up in this zone, you give them more choices. Let's say you decide you're going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're going to go say, I'm going to go exercise. Your body says what?
Go
not moving.
Sleep
it in. Your mind says?
Fit in.
I promised Scotty I'd go run with him. I promised. And then you argue back and forth and sleep in. Your spirit says, keep your word. Keep your commitments. Do what you said you would do. Your integrity is everything, okay? Now, so when you run into people that have severe anxiety and severe depression, you guys are in a tough situation because a lot of your friends sometimes come and talk to you and say, hey, I just feel like I'm going to kill myself, or I just feel like I just can't go on anymore. What do you say? What do you do? People who are at the end of their rope or at the end of the field have no choices. They feel like they have no choices. Does that make sense? They feel like they have, and so anything you can do to help them see, are there other choices or are there other things you can do? They feel like, and any time you can bring that up and say, okay, I'm sorry you're feeling that way. Typically, we want to start saying things like, no, you don't want to do that. But the moment we say that, we're taking their choices away. Does that make sense? So it's imperative that you say, okay. So that's something you're feeling right now. So what are the choices do you have? Something I'm feeling right now, what are the choices? Sometimes we forget to stop and celebrate our successes. And so I want to give you a chance just for a few minutes to do that. I want you to go back in your groups of six again.
But why don't we? Why don't we want to tell about our successes? Because we, what?
We feel prideful.
Yeah,
oh,
prideful.
Right.
And is it prideful if you're teachable? I want you to use that as your maintenance tool. Because it is never prideful if you remain teachable. So anytime you think you're, oh, is this prideful to celebrate my successes? Ask myself, am I still teachable? Well, of course you're teachable. You wouldn't be here. That makes sense? So you're all teachable. It is not a bad thing to celebrate in your successes. It is not prideful. Does that make sense to you? Yes.
It seems like these days, sometimes it goes the opposite end of the extreme where people, instead of talking about their successes, will talk about, oh, I'm such a victim, and look at all the terrible things that have happened to me. How do you help? Because I know some of these kids have friends that do that.
Yes.
Any advice for them?
Oh, yes, thank you for saying that. Because if you do, and you are running into that, because we have a whole world that teaches victim mentality right now, right? Let's think of something first, though. Why do people want to be victims? They want attention, but you can't see your friend. You're just wanting attention right now. You know? And they want to be right. Yeah, they're coming out of this. But why do they want to? What's some other reason they want to be victims?
They want someone to save them and show them that they matter.
Yeah, they don't want to be responsible. They want somebody else to do it for them. And they want you to fix them. And they'll actually say, if you don't stay on the phone right now, I'm going to kill myself. Or if you don't stay on the phone right now, I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. Or, you know, they'll put the responsibility of their lives on you because they're being victims. It's easier to be a victim than to take responsibility. I want to throw out to you that there's power in being a victim. Huge power. Think about what I talked about with bullies. Victim mentality is a little bully. Now, you've got to be able to tell victims that. But it's important that you know that so you don't let them control you. So you can say things like, sounds like it's bothering you. Sounds like it really hurts. Sounds like it's not really working out for you. Reflect back what they're saying, but you don't have to fix it. We're in a world that teaches you that you're supposed to fix victims. We're supposed to bail them out. You don't have to do that. Does that answer your question? What do you think?
What do you guys think?
What do you think?
Do
you have to bail out people that are, they're going to die, for example.
You can be there for him, you can support him, you can love him, you can reflect things, but is it your responsibility to bail him out?
At the end, you can't make choices for them.
No, you can't.
They have to decide.
Just now.
And most people, like, not most people, I don't know, but if people tell you, like, from people that I knew that would say stuff and tell me, like, all their worries, it's because they want to get control over me. They want me to think about them all the time and to be able to always go over to their house and have them tell me even more stuff.
And be available for them all the time.
Yeah.
And then that way they're subconsciously controlling you. Now, having said that, please don't get the message from Renee and I that you're not supposed to go out and serve other people, you're not supposed to go out and help other people. We need to always do that. That's a very healing thing, serving and caring for other people. But if you find that someone is taking a little more of your time, a little more of your energy, a little more of pieces of you than they should, and we're letting them do that, they have power over us and they're controlling us. Does that make sense? Questions about that? Any of you? That's a great question. So what do you do? Because you feel like I'm not being very Christ-like if I don't rush over there and help them.
How do you like set boundaries for yourself?
Great.
Because you don't want to like ruin like your relationship with them.
Right. But think about something. If they're saying to you, if you can't come and do this, I don't know that I can count on you anymore. What are they saying? What are they telling?
It's like a threat.
They're threatening you. They're manipulating you. And that's when I ask myself, is this a real friendship? Or am I just being victimized? You know? And that's a hard thing with youth because as peers, we want to belong, like Renee was talking about here. We want to fit in, and we don't want to hurt them. But here's, before I get your question, here's something you can say. I would love to, and I have another commitment. It might be talking to your mom. It might be feeding the dog. It might be doing your own school or whatever. I would love to, and I have another commitment. Don't be afraid to say that. And I have to say that all the time. I would love to, and it's not possible.
Right? You have to really take care of yourselves.
Because if you don't take care of yourself and be true to yourself, who's going to? Yes.
But if you like don't help them, doesn't that just like add fuel to like their victim? Because they're like, oh my goodness, no one wants to be my friend. Like
it can, and they will probably use it as that. Well, you don't care either, right? So that's probably what they'll say. You don't care either. And so, can you say, I care very much, and it's not possible? Heidi, what are you thinking?
I was just going to say, I had to learn this the hard way when I was your age because...
Come on over.
All right, I'm going to move extra here, but I feel like when you're helping people little by little, you're kind of giving them... it's kind of like... I don't know. I think about like a drug. That's the only thing I can think. And you're kind of giving them like, okay, here's my fix for a second. Here's my fix for a second. You're fixing it. And you're fixing it for them, right? So, okay, I'm helping my friend. Here's your little fix. Here's your little fix. But that person's never learning to fix themselves if you keep giving them that. So it's like, as soon as you set that boundary, yeah, they may go low. And I've seen people do it. But that's the only way they can get high again. And that's the only way they can actually progress themselves, if that makes sense. So.
No, that's great. So what I hear you saying is, are you enabling them or are you assisting them? What's the difference between enabling and assisting? You sports people. What's the difference?
You're helping them to do something.
Yeah, you're assisting them. You're helping them do something. That's a great thing to do. We're assisting some people in our basement right now from Ukraine. We're assisting them. If I did everything for them, I'd be enabling them.
Do they know the difference?
Do you know the, see the difference?
Yeah.
So we're assisting them, but we're not enabling them. But if I went out and hand them money every day and said, no, I'll clean the sidewalks off, you don't have to do that, then I'm enabling them. Okay? So if this is a person in the center of this is the world, and it kind of keeps going like you're talking about, or you know, this person may keep going, the victims of life or the people in here saying, oh, the world's doing it to me. The world's doing it to me. The world's doing it to me. This person is hurting me. And part of our job is to say, wait a minute. I want to define my world. I want to come from the inside out instead of the outside in. And to practice doing that. How do I define my world instead of letting my world define me? And I think you can give some ideas. And you'll find this is what I call the yes but game.
Can you role play with me? Someone who says you're responsible for keeping me alive, or you're responsible for, you're my only friend, you're the only, you know, the only thing I can hang on to in life. Can you role play that?
Make her stand up. That'll produce some anxiety.
Oh, yeah. You'll hear that. Because everybody in this room will learn from this experience. We'll do that. And it'll be better than the activity we're going to do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You're my only friend. Can you help me out?
Really? I'm your only friend?
Yeah, I have no other friends. Like,
no
I
other friends at all. Everyone hates you?
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's awful. I just feel like everyone's against me all the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's going to be awful.
Can you help me out?
Oh, I'd love to help you, but what can you do?
I can't do anything.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, all my friends hate me, and I just have no friends anymore, and I just, like,
so when you reach out to them?
Yeah, they just don't want to talk to me.
They just don't want to talk to you.
Well, I haven't really reached out to them. But like,
oh, so you haven't really reached out to them. So what would happen if you just reached out to one person?
But I feel like when I reach out to them, then they just don't want to talk to me.
Okay,
so
I'm
going to
stop right here, because what's happening, and what I want you to catch with friends like this, that's what I call the yes but game. So it wouldn't matter what I said to her. She's going to play the yes but game with me. And she's going to, yes but, I tried that, it didn't work. Oh yes but, I tried that and it didn't work. Well yeah, well, I haven't really reached out. Well, but if we could reach out to somebody, and then she says yes but, it wouldn't. So when you start hearing the yes but game, thank you for doing that, Woody. When you start hearing the yes but game, practicing, oh so, and then I'm going to say to her, let's make up her name, Mary. Mary, so it's not like, no, that's going to work for you. But she'll say, oh, but you're the only person that I've ever met that can make a difference in my life. And what's she doing? She's pinning you into that little corner that says, you're my lifesaver, and she's saying, you're my only hope. And if that's true, that is way too much pressure on you as a person, and it is not. And we say, how do we set the boundary for that? I would love to, and... Now, let's go to a real extreme case. Let's say, Mary, you tell me when I need to stop.
We're going to do a process first.
Okay.
We've let the process first.
What's that?
The celebration process.
Okay. But then let's say Mary let's say Mary committed suicide. Let's go to an extreme case. Are you responsible for that?
No.
That, I so hope that all of you can get that today. You will be their friend. You can be kind to them. You are never responsible for another person's choices. Please remember that. In all of your whole life, you can assist, you can help, you can bless their lives. We're hopefully helping to bless your lives a little bit, I don't know. But you can never be responsible for another person's choices, ever. So please don't ever let that happen to you. It'll affect you, it won't hurt you, it'll be very difficult, but you're never responsible for that. Is that fair? Or does that answer your question? So that's what I watch for, is the yes but game. How are we doing for time?
I think we...
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Oh, 2 minutes.
Okay, 2 minutes.
Sorry.
That's all right. No, and don't apologize, but that was so important. Let's just do one thing. Stand up, everybody. Stand in a big circle. Come up here in a big circle. Let's see. Slide your chairs back, whatever you need to do to get in a big circle. Come on over, you guys. Okay, I want you to think of an accomplishment, one grand accomplishment. Go ahead and move around. One grand accomplishment that you've accomplished in your lifetime. And it might even be getting out of bed, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. But come over. And we're going to start over here with you, Scotty. And just think. And Scotty's going to say what his grand accomplishment was. And we're going to cheer and hoot and holler for him like crazy. Okay, Scotty? This is going to be fast.
Today?
No,
right now.
No,
just in life. Just
but
in
we're
going to
cheer so loud.
Some grand accomplishment. We're going to hoot and holler for Scotty like crazy. And then I'm going to go right around the room. Elena, you're going to be next. So be thinking about what it is and just shout it out to the group. Go ahead, Scotty.
I hit my first 180 on skis.
Your first? Yes, Elena. That loud.
I read 100 books in a year.
Wow! Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
I saved somebody to love last night.
All right.
I went to
the
state
as
all, even though it was my first year.
Oh!
I got second in district cross country qualified for state.
All right.
I received my endowment.
Yay!
All right.
I finally started playing the piano.
All right. Here, come on. All right. Shout it out, just come on. Some great accomplishment. Even if it's small.
I guess that's true. I went skiing for the first time on pebbles.
All right.
Yeah.
Come
here.
Come here.
I went 60 books in the last month.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
I finally got in shape.
Oh, good job! Started playing the guitar. Yay! Accomplishments. That's not who you are, but it's okay to stop and say to yourself, I can do this well, or I've done something well. That does not mean you're prideful. That means you've accomplished something grand, and I'm still teachable, I'm still growing, I'm still learning. Stop along the way and acknowledge yourself. Remember who you are.
But remember to keep your word.
To yourself?
Keep your word to yourself and to others, but mostly to yourself.
What we didn't get into today that I wanted to get into is a little bit of how Renee deals with her depression as she's working, she had two strokes, a heart attack, cardiac arrest, heart surgery, and brain surgery. She had to relearn how to walk. She had to relearn how to talk. She had to relearn everything in her life. She's a musician. Some of you that know her well know that. Some of you don't. We didn't get into that. I wanted to tell you some of those things. And sometimes you'll get a chance maybe to tell you that how she did that and what she does to lift herself up every day, because every day, you might be your own best cheerleader. Be your own best cheerleader. Every day. Every day. Thank you guys for being here.
We love you.
Have fun the rest of the day. You got some other things going?
Hey, good to see you. Good to see you. Take care.
Come here.
You too. And you know something about your grandma.
Oh, yeah. You would love to hear.
What does she do?
So she does genealogy. She's down into the 1500s now.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, you know what? Well, I might give you a call.
I even got her a scarf today.
Oh, you did? You got that for her?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You got something out of there. Oh. Just garbage. Okay.
All good.
Anyway, well, that sounds great.
And then I got this today.
Wow. What is that? Circuit Whiz.
I have my own YouTube channel, and I make Lego engines.
Wow.
And I'm going to use this to power it instead of a vacuum. So.
Wow, look at you go. Keep
Zoe,
up the
you
good
need
work.
This?
See ya.
Hey. Take care. She probably needs these back, too.
Stop. You can probably keep those first.